Driving In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and two-time People's Choice Award-winning podcast.
Hello, everybody. We're Scrubbing In, and today I have a co-host because Tanya has flown to the islands with Red Star. But I have another blonde, blue-eyed bombshell joining me today, my friend Whitney Carson.
Woo! Hi! Oh my gosh, I'm so happy to be on here with you.
I know, I was just talking to Easton and Mark and saying, I feel like you were on here, you were on Scrubbing In, like the first, kind of one of our first guests at the beginning.
Yeah, I totally
have you been back?
No, I don't think so. I think life just got a little crazy, but I'm like, I'll take it. If this is what it takes to talk to you, I will do it.
Well, you know, I like keep up with your whole life on Instagram, so I feel like I know everything about you.
I know. Same here. It's so funny how we communicate now through Instagram. It's like, if my family doesn't post on Instagram, I'm like, I don't know what you guys are doing. What are you doing? We need to be posting on Instagram.
Same with my friends, but I feel like you've had a lot going on in your life. And I have a question. When did you start Dancing with the Stars? What year was that?
That was when I was 18. So almost 10 years ago. So what are we in? 2021? So.
Yeah. So 2011?
Hold on. 2012.
Okay. Yeah. Because I remember watching you, and you were just my favorite dancer. Like, my mom would always be like, she's so cute. Like, she's just so easy to watch. And we just loved you.
Aww.
And then, you know, like, even it's weird because, you know, like when you watch someone and you love someone and they're younger than you, you're like, okay, it's like, you don't want to be weird about it. But then when I met you, I just thought you were the greatest. I think you're the greatest ever. So it's funny. Like, I was such a fan of you before I got to meet you and call you a friend.
I didn't know that.
I know. I've never told you that.
I love that. That is so sweet. Oh my gosh. Well, I was obsessed with you too on The Bachelor because, of course, I'm a Bachelor fan. So I was trying to, how did we meet, Becca? I'm trying to remember. Was it through Chris Soules? I think it was through Chris, because remember, you were on that season, obviously, but you had a taping or something.
But I wouldn't have come to a taping it because he was engaged to Whitney at the time. And so
I think you and Whitney, weren't you and Whitney friends though? And you,
but who was the guy that, who won that season?
Oh gosh.
I mean, I know that's probably just a blur for you, but
I don't even remember. I don't remember at all.
Because I'm trying to think, I came to a taping because I had a crush on, I'm like totally blanking on his name,
one
and
of
I
the
shouldn't
celebrities?
Because. Yeah, one of the celebrities.
Oh my gosh. Was it James Maslow?
No, but I know James Maslow.
Okay.
Isn't he is the amazing, he's like a model, he's deaf, he won the season.
Niall. Yes.
And I had met him at a Dodger game and he invited me to be one of his guests. But I don't know if that was Chris's season.
Oh, okay.
I remember going and I was sitting like in his section with like his friends and family. And I just had the biggest crush on him. And so he invited me. And then after that, I only came because you invited me. And I have a video of you trying to teach me how to do like a cha-cha or something.
I know. Oh, I wish so bad that I need you to get on the show. Like, I need to figure out a way to get you on because it's like, we've been trying to do that since like I've met you because I'm like, you're so freaking cute. And you totally can dance, by the way.
Okay, well, let's not take it that far.
I've seen it.
It's a generous statement, and I really appreciate that, but we all know the truth.
No, it's true.
I every friend that I've had that's gone on the show has said it was the hardest experience they've ever had. Like, very rewarding, but probably the most challenging, the most physically taxing.
So hard. And imagine doing that every year for 10 years.
No, I can't. Like, I literally cannot grasp that.
And what was crazy is they actually had it 2 times a year. So I was doing it in the spring and the fall, and then tour summer and winter. So it was literally like around the clock. But I think for these celeb, obviously, if you're not a dancer, it's way harder because you're learning something you've never learned. Pushing your body to like over your limit 24/7, not to mention like the mental stress that it puts on you as well. And it's just, it's a crazy like 13 weeks. It's insane. That's why I've just kind of learned to like, this is going to sound bad, not care as much about what the judges say.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I feel like I was such a wreck. Like, when I first started, I was like, oh my gosh, I've got to be like the best. And like, that was literally my life. It is my life, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I think like, as like I started to get married and like, you know, especially after having a baby, I've just kind of been like, okay, it's okay if the judges don't like a certain dance. Like, that's fine. Like, I'm still confident in myself. I think I wrote a lot on my confidence on what they said. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of learned to like not take it as seriously. But a lot of that's your life. So the celebrities are like, okay, I'm doing this full on, which is great. But it definitely can be taxing mentally and physically for sure.
Well, and I feel like, I feel like every season I've watched with you, you've been with someone who at least had potential to, that you could make them look good. You know, like, you've always been able to, is that not true? What I'm thinking of when I think of like the Rolodex of people you've been with, I feel like the producers want you on the show because people watch, there's a few of you who like people specifically watch no matter who your partner is. And so they're not dumb. They're going to put you with someone who has the potential to get decently far.
Yeah, no, it's true. Like, I've been blessed with amazing partners, like genuinely. Like, if they don't have any dance experience at all, like say Frankie Muniz, he, you know, he had nothing, and it was like disastrous. When I told him to freestyle, I was like, stop dancing. Oh my gosh, this is so bad. But, and he knows that, I'll tell him that, like, every day. I'm like, he needed, like, just structure. But what was nice, if they didn't really have natural talent, they made up for it in personality, and we just had a blast. I mean, so it was like, if I didn't have somebody who was amazing, at least, like, their personality was great. So, like, I felt, like, really blessed in that way. And then Alfonso, it's just like, he was an amazing dancer and he was so funny and so personable. So that one I hit the jackpot with. So I've gotten one really lucky one.
Who, like, have you ever had someone, because you spend so much time together, like, have you ever had someone where you met them and within like a week you're like, oh no, this is going to be a long few weeks? Or have you been pretty much like, okay, they're
I mean, okay, I've had over, let's see, I've had maybe 15 partners, or maybe a little less, 15 partners, and I've had a few rogue ones where I'm like, dude, we need to be eliminated now.
I'm sabotaging this. Gotta sabotage. It's the only option.
Sabotage. No, I mean, I feel bad saying that, but you do. I mean, it's like, they're just some celebrities. Like, they just are like, they either started when they were really young and then just don't have a grip on reality. Like, which is, I know, like, generally speaking, but I just felt like for me, like a few of them, I was like, okay, we need to get you grounded a little bit, back to reality here. But also nice and so grateful for obviously every partner, but yes, definitely there's been some rogue ones,
some divas.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I like
and
that.
I don't want to name names, but
no, okay. We're not here to start drama, but I think if I would be in the same position as you, like if I were taking on the task of putting in my time and my energy, and and I was with someone who was,
and I feel sure, but I definitely feel like you can find, you just, when you have a partner like that, and every pro knows this, you just have to celebrate in the small successes. It's like, you just have to try and find like good things about what you're doing, right? So like, whether it's like, he's got great humor, or you're just trying to find some good stuff that people can see and people can vote for. Because at the end of the day, everyone wants to do a good job. And we all need to, so we all need to, you know, just kind of figure out what positive things we can just accentuate. And I think that's like the biggest part of our jobs, right? Is like hiding kind of like what they're bad at, and like accentuating what they're good at, you know? So if they're like good at, I don't know, hilarious, like being so funny. Like, do you remember Chris Kattan at all?
Yeah.
Okay. So he was my partner, and we actually were eliminated the first week. That is the, obviously the earliest I've ever been eliminated. So it was like, he had a really bad back. So he actually broke his back on Saturday Night Live. Which was really kind of a weird story. He was about to like bring out a book. So I'm not going to tell a story in case he's actually writing a book about it. Cause then I would just be like, it would just be everywhere.
Spoiler alert.
I'm still him his whole life. So I don't really want to do that. But so this was like, he was telling me that he broke his back on SNL, and he has like so many not like, like bolts, and he's got like two metal rods down his spine. Like, I mean, he was really injured. So the thing about him was he was funny. So I did just like accentuated just like his humor. You have got to look it up, Becca. Like, you've got to look it up on YouTube. Like, it will just, it literally, we watched it on tour, on my tour bus, every single night, just to like laugh, because it was just, he was so good at the humor stuff, but he couldn't dance, bless his soul, he could not dance.
Wait, so he got one dance and like one and done?
No, actually we did two, because what happens is the first week no one's eliminated, right? And then and then they vote, and then the second one you dance, and then at the end of the night you're gone.
He got two.
And we did the first one was this guy, you know, Night at the Roxbury with Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
So I did this for about four counts of eight, just because I'm like, this is what we're going to do, guys. Since you can't really move.
I know you can. You're like, excuse me, y'all. Pair me with someone who can't really move.
I just think that they thought that he was going to be better than what he was, which he knows. I'm like, Chris, you know, honey, like you, your back was bad. It was bad. He did the best that he possibly could. And
I'm just laughing. Like, I'm imagining injuring myself like that and then being put into a situation where literally pushing my body to its limits.
Yeah. Being like, that's why he did, poor guy. And I'm like, you can't take much more.
Yeah.
Oh, I think he knew it too. He knew it. He was like, I can't keep up. And it was hard because he was in pain too. And I'm like, you're in pain, and this is just your limit of what you can do, you know? So you just have to work with it. And we worked with it.
Well, I'm glad he had you, because like, honestly, you probably were able to do the best that he could push his body to. And I'm sure he had a wonderful experience.
I'm telling you, that was the best we could possibly do. The best.
So I can't wait to watch it.
Oh, you'll love it. It's Hey Ya by Outkast. And it's the best. And I had him at this one part, there was some lyrics, and so I had him like do this, like sing the lyrics, and it's the best. Like we had such a fun time just laughing our heads off.
Oh, wow. Well, I am like dying over here. Just imagining it. Okay, switching gears. First of all, Eliza, congratulations. It's like you got through COVID and you had a baby during COVID. Yeah. And he's literally the cutest little, I just want to reach through the screen and squeeze him.
Oh, he is a freaking chunk, dude. Like his rolls, I'm like, I swear I'm not overfeeding you. Like I'm feeding you the right amount, dude. And you are just like chunking. He is so freaking fun though. Like his personality is starting to come out. And he's like, I think he had a little bit of colic at the beginning. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, do you have nieces and nephews?
I have 4 nephews.
Yeah. So you probably know just from them talking about it, but it's just, I don't know if it was his stomach or like what mm-hmm. it was, but he just like, wasn't like sleeping great. He kind of was a little bit crankier. So now I feel like he's like really, his personality is coming out and he's like, now that he's eating like solid foods. So it's been like, he's been way better, but yeah, that was a crazy time. I can't believe it's already been almost 6 months since I had him. Like, I feel like I just was in the hospital. Isn't that so crazy?
It's crazy. And so, wait, so what, when's his birthday?
January 3rd.
Okay, so that was kind of, I mean, COVID was still pretty, I mean, it was pretty, everything was pretty strict, right? When you had him?
So I'll backtrack a little bit. When I got pregnant, that's when everything started like so bad. Like everyone was like quarantined and like it was like a full on emergency. So like right when I found out I was pregnant. So it was also like, I was really, really excited, obviously. But I also was so scared. Like, I did not know what for, like, a pregnant woman to get COVID. Like, I was, like, I was pregnant. I was hormonal. I was, like, my body was changing so much. And at the same time, like, we were going through this global pandemic. And so I just feel like my whole pregnancy, I was just so stressed. Like, every little thing. Like, any sort of cramp or, like, weird thing, like, I would just freak out. And I would, like, text the doctor. I have the doctor, like I'm texting him. Totally use the VIP card. Like I'm on Dancing with the Stars. You need to text me. Totally use that, which I don't ever use that, but I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. I need your number and you need to be on call. It was so funny. But he was great. He was great. He assured me that was all normal stuff. But yeah, it was so stressful. And then when I had him in January, I actually had COVID, which
you had like you went into labor with COVID.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What?
So it wasn't that great timing. I'm like, so I'm so lucky. I don't know how that happened to me. I'm like, of course.
Were you sick? Like, were you feeling sick, or was it like one of those things where you didn't really have symptoms?
I didn't really have symptoms. So before you go to the hospital, like on your like last checkup at like 37 weeks, they actually test you for COVID. I don't know how the other hospitals were, but like this hospital in Utah did that just routine. Mm-hmm. And so when they checked me, I had COVID and I was like, what? Like I literally just have a sniffle and like kind of achy, but I just like, I was like 37 weeks.
Yeah, you're like, I'm about to pop. I'm achy everywhere. Yeah.
So I'm just miserable everywhere. So I just thought it was that. And then when they told me I had COVID, I was like, what? So anyway, so we ended up giving it to my entire family. And it just went through like each one, because you know how the incubation period, I think, is like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So like people can get it all the way up to 2 weeks. So it was like, my mom got it, and then my dad got it, and then my sister, and then my brother. Like, everyone got it at different times. So nobody could see the baby for, like, 4 weeks after he was born. It was so hard. It was so hard. The labor was really hard because I had, I don't know if you ever had COVID, but
I didn't, no.
I just feel like your lungs are like never the same. Like I felt like I couldn't breathe. So I had like an oxygen thing on the whole time in labor, like while I was pushing, I was like throwing up. It was just like,
oh my God.
It was kind of crazy and traumatic and amazing at the same time, but also yeah. just like, I just don't know. I mean, and we were scared too that the baby would get COVID as well, because we didn't know how contagious like it would be to babies. Right. But it was like, they were like, you can leave them here for 2 weeks. And I was like, heck no, I'm not doing
that. Yeah, you're so. Like, absolutely not.
My baby and leave. So I guess I will just deal with it. If he gets COVID, he gets COVID. But he didn't end up getting sick. So that was a big blessing too. But we were just, it was just me and Carson. And Carson ended up getting COVID too. So we both had COVID and we both had
with no help, because everyone couldn't see him.
With no help. My aunt, who had already had COVID, luckily, was able to come and, like help us a little bit. So we had my aunt. That was it. But it was, we were just grateful that we had any help at all. But it just was, it was crazy. But it was, the hormones are nuts. Like, I can't explain the hormones. Like, pregnant women who are listening to this, you guys will know, like, people who have had babies. Like, the hormones are crazy. Like, after that, traumatic experience, I was, like, jealous of my friends having labor. Like, having a baby. Like, I was jealous of that. Like, I wanted to
like, no.
Yeah. It's bizarre. Something happens to you mentally, and you just forget all the bad stuff, and you only remember the good stuff. Like, it was crazy. Poor Carson. Poor guy. Like,
we're not doing that again anytime soon, Whitney.
No, so what happened is I actually ended up having an emergency C-section, and so I pushed for 2.5 hours, then his heart rate started going super high, so that I did an emergency C-section, which I was just like devastated, obviously, but also so relieved. Like, Carson's face was just like, please do it, oh my gosh, please do the C-section. Like, we were just exhausted. So anyway, we do the C-section. The doctor is like, Carson, like, come look at the baby coming out. You're going to want to see this. So Carson's like, he's an anxious mess already, like, without the medical stuff. So, poor guy. Like, we just started talking about the C-section. Like, it's taken him this long to talk about it.
Poor thing.
I know. And you know him. He's like the sweetest, sweetest guy
ever.
So, and so I felt so bad. He's like, please don't make me do that again. I'm like, you're going to have to. So we're going to need to do something for you, bud, because we're going to have more children.
Yeah.
So funny. Like, send your mom.
Yeah, yeah. I can't imagine. I've always thought that for, you know, Mark, our producer, he has two kids, and I've always thought for the husband, you're first of all watching the love of your life in this kind of, you know, scary position, like, you know, what can happen, and then you're watching this baby that you've created, and you're like fearing, you know, have all those thoughts too. So I've always felt for the husbands, because I know, like, as women, our bodies are just going through it, and we're like, and
you're just doing it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I did feel so bad for him. I was like, yeah, I'd rather be in this position than in your position. Like, that sucks, especially just watching your whole world just like, is everything okay? Like, and just not really knowing, you know, and you just kind of have to just hope that it's fine. But does this make you want to have a baby now, Beck?
No. I already, like, I think just like the things I hear, and I don't know, maybe your pregnancy from Instagram seemed like it was, you know, pretty pleasant for the most part. But some people I know they're like nauseous the whole 9 months. They're like, have no energy. And I just sit there and think, can I do that? I don't know.
You can. You totally can. That's the thing. It's like when you're ready, like when it happens, you'll be ready, you know? Like before I got pregnant, all my sister-in-laws, because all my sister-in-laws have babies, and they just were going through their birth experiences. And I was like, I don't want that. I don't want that to happen. None of it. I don't want any of it. And then when it happens, you just do it and you're fine. Innately, women are amazing. Innately.
Right.
Like we are, because we have to do that crazy stuff. And it's just what happens.
It's amazing. Was there anything like during your pregnancy or after you had him where you were like, I had no idea to prepare for this and no one told me? Or did you feel pretty like prepared even though it still felt new?
No, you never are prepared for a baby ever. Like even all the reading and all the studying and like, because you got 9 months, right? So you're like, 9 months, I'm gonna prep myself for this new life. Like you're feeling like you're so prepared, right? So you've got like your breastfeeding stuff, you got the nursery done, and you know, you like kind of know what to do, like, you know, changing a diaper or whatever, or you know what to do when he's crying. And then when they're here, it all just goes to crap. Like you don't know anything. You're like, I thought I was gonna be good and I'm actually the worst. That's how I totally felt. That's how I felt, because you're constantly like trying to figure it out. Like it's so weird. Like no amount of preparation can help you. I mean, obviously the basic stuff, but I just feel like you just kind of have to go with it. Like with anything in life, really, you just, you can never feel prepared, and especially with a baby. And then you're like, on top of that, you're so tired, like no sleep. So you're just delirious and there's a baby screaming and it's just a lot. It's also, it's harder than I thought, but it's also more amazing than I thought.
Oh, that's cool. So it like balance, like it's harder, yet it's even like you couldn't grasp how hard it is, but you also couldn't grasp how amazing and overwhelming it is.
Exactly. You really can't. It's the weirdest thing. Like with Phoebe, I'm sure you get a little bit of that, a little bit of the love that I'm talking about. And then as soon as you have
Thank you for acknowledging my dog, my motherhood.
I live for Phoebe, dude. I'm so into that. I love that she had, like, is she okay on the bed now? Because what happened with her?
What?
Like, she was falling off the bed? Or no?
No, what did I post?
You get, like, the little steps.
Oh, the stairs. Because my bed's high. And she, I don't have, in my old place, I had carpet, but I just moved. And so I have hardwood floors. And so she doesn't feel comfortable jumping off. So, like, if she needs to get down and, like, I don't know. Sometimes she just likes to wander around in the middle of the night, but she'll just sit there on the edge or she'll cry for me to lift her up. And I'm like, I'm not doing it. So I bought these ugly stairs, but they've really saved me.
You literally do it. Like Roxy, my dog, before we had Leo, I was like, you are literally my child. Like I am obsessed with you. And then as soon as I got Leo and brought him home, I was like, I don't like you anymore.
What? Whitney, no, that's like my biggest fear, because I can't do that to Phoebe.
But Phoebe is sweet. She is a sweetie. She's going to be fine, but that it really does happen. Like your dogs you still love, obviously, but like nothing compares to the love of a child. It's like, it's just so different that like when you get home and you look at your dog, you're like, you're annoying me. And need you to leave.
Whitney, this is illegal. What you're saying is illegal.
But it's so much better now, obviously, because I'm like, she was my buddy. Like when I was pregnant, they know. Like it's a weird
thing. Oh yeah.
They like I'm
I've heard that
when you're on your like the time of the month, like they just like, this is a weird story that happened actually with Roxy. So she's pretty smart. What breed is Phoebe?
She's a Pomeranian.
Okay, so Roxy is like a poodle Bichon mix. And so anyway, so she was, so I didn't even know I was pregnant, okay? It was the day before I took the test. And she was like sniffing my boob, like out of control, like sniffing everywhere. It was bizarre. I'm like, what are you doing? This is so weird. I don't know why she's doing this. And then I took the test the next day and I was pregnant. I'm like, she could totally smell something. I don't know if it's like, it was the hormones or just like, so anyway, she was my buddy, like all pregnancy. She would just curl up on my belly and she was like, aww. She was my little buddy.
And then you just threw her to the side when you got home?
Then I was like, you're sleeping outside. You must.
No, wait. No.
I did not do that. I love her to death. And she was, I'm just trying to explain you the difference of like a dog.
Yeah. Like all of a sudden world shifts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But obviously I'm like, she's our baby number one. Like number one, she's our baby. But it just was funny like how our kind of perspectives like changed after he was here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't, I don't really even think you can grasp it. The closest thing I've really experienced, you know, aside from Phoebe, is I lived with my sister when my first two nephews were born. So my oldest nephew, I was with him till he was 3. And I was basically like a third parent because my brother-in-law played football. And so he would travel. So it was just, you know, me and my sister. And so I did experience that, like, anything that's, I mean, but yeah, to an extent, I think, I don't know that you can compare it to being a mom, you know, being a parent. But as an aunt, I got a glimpse of it.
You totally got a glimpse of it for sure. So were you there when he was born too? Like,
I was in the room. Yeah. So I was in the room and I it was amazing. You know, if anything, I was just like, this is what they reference when they're talking about miracle of life, because it's just incredible. Yeah. But then they went to, you know, like stitch her back up and they went to give her like a shot, I guess. And I literally had to sit down. I thought I was going to faint. For some reason, the child coming out didn't make me feel that way. But seeing a needle go down there, I was like,
Oh, ow. Like, well, I mean, after you have a baby, literally like nothing hurts, honestly. She probably didn't even know what was happening. She's probably like, oh, well, yep. That's
it's funny
normal.
You said that about like she loved being in the hospital and giving the labor part of it. She loved it. She was like, she got an epidural. She was just posted up. Like,
the epidural is the best, but I was so scared of that needle. I was so scared. Have you seen an epidural at all?
If I ever am in the position where I'm going to need or choose to have an epidural, I will not be able to see one beforehand because the thought of a needle going back there.
Do not look it up. Don't look it up. Because no, I won't tell you because I need you to get one because you need one. You have to call me as soon as you're pregnant. I don't know how far away you are from that, but
I feel far, but I will call you. I mean, It's just like, you know, okay, when you got your dog, when I got Phoebe, I brought her home and there was a moment, like a weekend where I was like, I'm going to have her for a long time. Like, this is going to be my life. Like, I'm responsible for taking care of her for the rest of her life, however long that may be.
Yeah.
And I got a little overwhelmed by that feeling of like, this is, I'm hers and she's mine.
Yeah.
And then I think about a child and like they just, even once they're 18 and they're out of the house, whatever, they're still on your mind forever.
I definitely felt that. Like you can never go back is the thing. Can never go back from having a child. You can't reverse it. I felt that way when I got pregnant. I was like, oh my gosh, it's in me. Like, it's not going anywhere. Like, I have to wait 9 months for this thing to grow. Like, it's the most crazy, most beautiful experience. But yeah, you definitely, that hits you like a ton of bricks. And you're like, I can't go back. I will have kids forever now, forever. So that's why it was good. Like, Carson and I waited for 5 years after we got married. And I feel like that was like a perfect amount of time. Like we started at like the end of the 5 years, we were like, okay, what's next? Like, we kind of like sat there like, okay, what's next now? Mm-hmm. I think kids are next. You know what I mean? So like,
yeah,
we felt like super ready so that when we did have Leo, it was like, this is definitely like, we're good. You know what I mean? Like, we did our traveling. We did like, we lived in LA for like 3 years. We like, you know, went on my career, like full force, like he's almost done with school. So it was like a really, it was a good time for us. So for sure.
Right.
Take your time is where I'm getting at.
I cannot believe it's been 5 years since y'all got married.
I know. It's really crazy because I met you before we got married.
Yeah.
Or before we even got engaged, actually.
I met you when y'all were, I think he was on a mission or so. He was gone. Like, y'all weren't together technically, I guess.
No, yeah. No, he was in Romania, yeah, for 2 years. But we still kind of wrote, like, here and there. But we definitely weren't together. And then he came home right during Crystal season, actually.
And y'all were together since then?
And then after he came home from Crystal's, then we were together. And then he proposed that year in October. So we were
chop-chop. He was ready. Yeah, he was ready to put a ring on it.
And I was so ready too. I was like, oh, I like, compared to like the people that I dated in LA, I was like, never leave me. Like, you, I'm like, seriously, I need you to marry me right now.
He's one of the greatest guys. Like, I will never forget when we came to watch you on Dancing with the Stars. Like, you invited. It was like me, Allie, and a few other girls. Yeah. And he came and got us in his truck to make sure, like, we weren't, like, came to get us so that we weren't just, like, wandering around. And he is just the sweetest. Yeah. And he's, like, so personable and funny. And he can dance. That video you posted the other day of him dancing.
I'm shocked that he did that. I am shocked. Anytime I film him on Instagram, he's like, please don't film me. I don't want to be filmed. I'm like, wow, okay, I guess I won't film you. But I got him. I was like, I'm going to get you a dirt bike for your birthday only if you do this with me. Like, you need to do this. And it took him a few minutes. He's the type of personality, though, like, if he's given a challenge and he starts it, he has to finish it. Like, it has to be the best. So I knew if I just, like, got him in just a little bit, if I just, like, started teaching him, he wouldn't, like, be able to stop until he got it.
Well, I mean, beyond him just, like, learning the dance, I was shocked at the rhythm because he's tall. He's, like, really tall. And
yeah.
I just was not prepared. And I sent it to Allie and I was like, what can they not do? Like, this couple is just, like, what are they not good at?
So funny. Oh, my gosh. He was a good sport about it for sure. But I think he secretly likes it. Like, I think he secretly, like, gets a rush and he's like, oh, yeah. That was pretty fun. Yeah, that was fun. Like, you loved it. You loved it. Just admit it. Oh, my gosh.
I would love to watch, like, all the Dancing with the Star pros, if they have girlfriends or spouses or whatever, dance a season with their
People spouse. Always guess that. They're always like, why don't you go dancing with the spouse? Like, why don't you do that? And I think, you know, our fans or like other people who know us would be interested. I just don't know if like everybody would love. I would watch that, I think.
Like, I would love that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it would be really fun and cute and different. And just to like see the relationship too of like if they like fight more, if they like grow closer together, or like it would be probably interesting both. To see that dynamic for sure.
Are you going back? What's your plan with Dancing with the Stars?
As of right now, I'm planning on it. So I don't know. I mean, we'll know more probably next month, probably the end of next month. But as of right now, I haven't really heard anything. They're kind of like in hiatus, like trying to gather all the celebrities and stuff. So we'll see. But that's the plan for me. If they don't, then I'll have to figure something else out because I don't know if you knew that I did the game show with Alfonso. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
So I did that in Vegas not last year, but the year before. And then with COVID, we couldn't film. And so it was on, you know, Game Show Network. So like nobody watched it. So it totally got canceled.
Oh, so, well, you know, it's hard with like now how they do TV and how they're doing shows, which is all like streaming on Netflix and Hulu and Amazon. It's like hard to, I mean, you have like the consistent shows that are on like prime time, like Dancing with the Stars, The Bachelor, all those. But like, I think it's really, I would find it very intimidating and challenging to start a pilot show right now that's weekly
That's on
release.
Yeah, that's only on cable too. It's like you can't really find the Game Show Network on Hulu or Netflix or any of those. Like it's really just like for the people who sit down and watch TV like at night. So yeah, especially because we didn't have new episodes coming out, you know, we didn't get enough views, but that was really fun. So I'm like, I'll just have to figure something else out. Maybe I'll have to come over there and do scrubbing and everyone.
Yeah, we'll be just like our celebrity consistent co-host.
Yeah, I'll be your celebrity co-host every 1 week and I'll just move out for that.
Yeah, we'll do dance classes. It'll be great. So you and how old is Lindsay's little girl? You and Lindsay from Dancing with the Stars. She had her baby.
Yeah, she had her baby in November, and Leo was born in January. So they're about a few months apart.
Are you gonna have an arranged marriage?
I hope so. I mean, I think that would be really fun, but who knows? Everyone's like, are they going to be dance partners? Are they going to be girlfriend and boyfriend? I'm like, I don't know, you guys.
They're like, it's hard to say. It's hard to say right now. It's hard to say.
It's hard to really say. I'm like, I guess they should just choose for themselves is what everyone's telling me to do.
That's a good answer, honestly.
Do you love witty sarcasm and talking fast? And are you longing to return to Stars Hollow for one more trip to Kim's Antiques or just to pick up a few things at Dozy's Market? Is an overnight stay at the Dragon Flay on your list of plans for a getaway? Is a burger from Luke's Diner on the menu for tonight? This is Scott Patterson. I was Luke Danes for 153 episodes and in 4 Netflix movies. I am all in an iHeartRadio podcast. Come hang with us. We're re-watching together. We're visiting with all our favorite cast and crew members. We talk fast. We've got a lot to say. Listen to I Am All In wherever you listen to podcasts.
So in our show, we normally do emails where people will write in and ask for advice. So I felt like it'd be fun for you to join me. I mean, Tanya and I, we always kind of differ in the advice that we give because we have very different personalities. So I'm curious to see, but Mark's going to read.
Are you guys that different?
Mark, I would say we are.
Yes. Most of our listeners divide themselves into groups. I'm a Tanya, I'm a Becca, because they're pretty different personalities.
Yeah, we're pretty different. Yeah. So yeah, that like our advice, though I don't know that either of us give great advice, is always very different.
That is so funny. I know that you're not the healthy one and she's the healthy one.
Well, yeah, that's definitely the case.
And by the way, when my first daughter was born, that was the day they decided to have the doctor training the younger doctor on how to administer an epidural.
Oh, no. That's my worst nightmare.
He missed because she felt all of it. And they had to come back and do it again because they did it wrong the first time. It was bad.
No, it was not good. That literally makes me feel like I want to.
Yeah, I don't want to say where it was, but it rhymes with Schmeiser Schmermanente. All right, here we go. This is an anonymous email. I need some advice about a tricky situation. My childhood best friend is absolutely beautiful, but very self-conscious about her body. When she posts pictures on social media, she heavily face-tunes and photoshops her face and body. It's bad enough that she's completely unrecognizable and barely looks human. Mutual friends talk about it behind her back and poke fun at the photos. We are close enough where I feel like I can talk to her about anything. But is there a way I can gently say something about the over-editing to her? Or should I just leave it alone and allow her to do something that makes her feel more confident? I hate that people are seeing the photos and making fun of them, especially since she could post a beautiful, natural photo of herself and people would only have positive things to say. Help.
This is tricky because I think we all deal with body and just like physical insecurities of how we look. And I think we're just totally inundated with unrealistic expectations of how we're supposed to look and how our bodies are supposed to look. And we're not supposed to have any texture on our body or our face, or, you know, it's like, it's just not realistic. And I don't know if you, I mean, I've definitely had times in my life where I was looking at photos from like 2017-ish, and I'd gone through like a really bad acne situation. I blurred my face so much that I looked like a mannequin. I'm like, why did I even think that that was better than just me looking like myself? Yeah. You know, like we do things that make us feel good, even though it's not real. So, Whitney, what do you think?
You definitely start to conform to society, like especially Instagram. It's like, everybody feels like they have to put on this perfect display of their life or their body. And it's so unhealthy. And I feel like I just started to realize that, honestly, like this year, like after like having a baby and my body going through all these changes. So that's a hard situation because you don't want to like downplay like her confidence, but you also, I think you can say it in a way of like, hey, you are so beautiful without any of those filters. You don't need any of that. And I feel like it makes you more relatable. Like people can actually look at you and be like, oh, you know what? She does have acne on her face, or she does have a little bit of curves. And that's totally fine. That's totally normal. And you don't need to feel like, you know, you have to put on a show. I feel like I would just go about it in, if you're as close to her as she's saying she is, I feel like I would go about it in a way of like, you don't need that stuff. Like, just get rid of that stuff and show everybody like who you are and you're beautiful. Like, I would just do it maybe that way of like encouraging instead of like, you know, I don't know. That's how probably I would say it.
I know. It's so tricky. I think the best thing that you can do as her friend is to really be someone who reminds her of how beautiful she is and like the features exactly. that make her beautiful and like the things that she doesn't need to change to post. And I think it's easier said than done because those conversations, no matter how close you are to someone, they're, you never want to make someone like, you never want to add to the insecurity or like, feed the insecurity.
Maybe she really needs that for her confidence. Like maybe she really needs that attention for her confidence. So you don't really want to like go too deep, but you also want to, yeah, that one's tricky. That one's really tricky. Even like my mom, I feel like she puts so many filters on and I'll just be like, mom, you do not need a filter. Like your face is so pretty. You do not need that. Kind of like I would approach it like that way.
Well, I even saw you were posting something the other day about like the Instagram story filters and how you were like, I feel like I have gotten used to just like depending on these, which yeah. I do too. Like I have discoloration, like melasma and hyperpigmentation. And so I normally try to avoid any filters that change my like facial feature shapes.
Yeah, yeah.
But like if it like smooths my skin or makes me look tanner or whatever, but then I see my face without it and I'm like, ugh. And I'm like, why am I like, why do we do this? Why are we in this weird place with social media where we're dictating how we look based off of this fake, what do you call it? Filter art?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It's just a way that like we've all kind of conformed to. And it's like, it's actually like really sad. Like it was bugging me that I felt like I couldn't just look at my face like regularly on a camera. Like I'm like, that actually like doesn't make me feel good that I can't like just look at myself without a filter. Like that is just so bizarre, like when you think about it. But
well, it's weird for me because we always like, I always talk about my like jawline right here because I don't like my profile, and so Allie funny. Is the same, and we'll be like, we need Whitney's jawline. That's what
Stop
we need.
It. Oh my gosh. You know
but,
that
but
actually called me Crimson Chin in high school. Do you know that character?
No, I don't know what that is.
It's just a cartoon character where his chin is just like huge. It's massive. And like people would call me that in high school. So like at one point I was totally insecure about my chin.
Okay, see this is what I'm saying. This is the craziest thing because literally it's sad how often we reference your jaw, but we do. We need the Whitney jaw. But it's weird because there is this certain, I actually did a podcast the other day where I was talking to these girls and we were talking about how there's some comfort in knowing that every single person, like even the people that you think are perfect,
yeah,
still struggle with exactly. how they look or body image or whatever. So
yeah,
I'm curious, Mark, if your daughter was in a position where she was posting photos and they didn't even look like herself, would you address it?
Yeah,
or how would you address
it? I would, but also I don't know. I don't know that dad is going to have much of an impact there. I think coming from her friend, like in this email, I think that would help a little bit more. But I think those issues run deep. I don't think a little positive reinforcement is going to help, but maybe a little bit over time, gradually will help if you just keep building her up over time. And I'm wondering if there's like an occasion. Is there like a no filter day or something? And like you can kind of build towards that. And on that day, or maybe on her birthday or something, like, oh, you should totally do a no filter post today because it would be so great. And then when all the positive feedback comes in, it might help in the long term. That having said all that, I have touch up my appearance on the Zoom hit all the way up right now. So maybe I'm not the best one to ask.
How do you do that?
Yeah, how do you do that?
It's in settings. It's great.
Okay, here we go.
All right, I'll be working on that after this conversation.
As we're talking about no filter, we're like, can we have the highest filter, please? No, I feel like that's what's so important for like you and I, Becca, and like people like who have a platform like to like influence younger people, because I just feel like they are just so warped. Like my sister's 17, and it's just like she literally had to delete Instagram because she felt so bad about herself. And I was like, that should not be happening. Like that should, like Mm-mm. Instagram should be a place where we can look at beautiful photos, connect with people, inspire people, you know, give them amazing stuff to be inspired by every day. Like it shouldn't Mm-hmm. be a place where we feel like we have to delete it. And so I just was,
it's crazy to think that as someone who's 17 feels that way. Cause I've dealt with that of being like noticing that every time I got on Instagram, I was just, it made me feel worse, you know? And I went through a phase in that, like, especially kind of earlier on, like fresh off The Bachelor and, where I had to delete it. But, you know, I was in my mid late 20s and I'm honestly so grateful that in my high school time and like those years, that I never even thought twice. I posted every single photo I took on my digital camera. It went up on Facebook. No edits, no touch-ups.
Totally. I remember that too. And they just have it so much harder, I feel like. With this, like, this younger generation have it so much harder because I felt that same way too. I felt like I had just, okay, I need to get off Instagram. Like, I'm just comparing myself to all these girls and just going down, like, a dark path. And I'm just like, we need to figure out a way where we can not make people feel that way. It's just kind of, it's just hard to do. So we'll just have to maybe over time figure it out.
I know. And I do think it starts with like people having the platform and posting photos where they're not contorting their bodies or their, you know, faces, whatever it is. But I think a lot of it is this younger generation and them. And I will say, I do notice like a lot of the girls that are popular on TikTok, they don't really do a lot of edits or anything to their photos and like won't use a ton of filters, some of the ones that I follow.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that they kind of bring back the beauty of being natural and being like confident in yourself and your body. And because our generation kind of, it was like, you need to be stick thin and be able to wear low rise jeans and, you know, this unattainable standard. Sure. Yeah. So I don't know. I like literally don't know what advice I would say except to build them up and constantly remind her of how beautiful she is and how the things that you love about her, and maybe even talk about this type of conversation to her and not even make it directly at her and just talk about like how there's so much pressure to look a certain way and how you even feel that. And then, you know, maybe it'll resonate with her. I don't know. It's a tough one. I don't really. Sorry. Wait, we brought you in on a tough question.
Yeah. No, that is tough. And it's also a really sensitive subject too. Like you don't want to. I think maybe my personality, because I'm pretty blunt. If I were close enough, like if it were my sister, I'd be like, get rid of those filters. That is not good. Like I would almost just be like, no, that's not cool. You're showing people that this is an unrealistic standard. And you know what I mean? Like I maybe would be a little bit more blunt just because I know her personality and I know that she wouldn't really be offended by that. She would be like, oh, okay, yeah, I probably shouldn't
thanks
do
for
that.
Saying, thanks for telling me.
Thanks for telling me. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a hard one though. Just over time, build their confidence.
It's funny because you are so sweet, but I do think of you as someone who just like says it like it is too. Like I was thinking today, I was getting my nails done and I was like, she could literally chop off my finger and I'd be like, thank you. It looks great. You know, like I am like the worst with that stuff.
I've seen that TikTok. That was so funny. I do feel like I'm pretty blunt. Like I say it like it is. But I'm learning to kind of filter it a bit because Carson is so filtered. Like he literally cares about everybody and everybody's feelings. And so he'll be like, babe, like that was kind of rude. And I'm like, she's fine. Like she knows what I mean. Like he's like, no, I think you should maybe text her just so. So over time, I think I've learned. And also him, because he's sensitive too. So it's like, I've had to learn, be like, why are you so offended by that? It just doesn't mean anything. I'm just telling you, like, you stink. Like, go take a shower.
Oh, yeah. Like I'm the same, though. I mean, I think, I guess you would describe that as like an empath or whatever. But I take on everyone's feelings. Like, I could go to a restaurant, order food. They bring me out something that's not even close to what I ordered. And I'm like, thank you so much.
That is so Carson.
For the food, even though it's not right.
Like I did that a few times, like at the beginning of our marriage, I was like, this is actually cold. Can you take it back and warm it up? He's like, oh my gosh, you're so embarrassing. You're so embarrassing. Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Like, but honey, I'm not going to eat this if it's cold.
I do have a theory that I think every relationship needs one of each.
Oh, for sure. And that I'm so grateful for that, for sure. Because, I mean, he bounces me out and I bounce him out. Like, I'm like, you have to say no to this person. He doesn't know how. I don't know if that is you. But
that's me.
He's a really hard time with conflict. That's maybe why we get so along, Becca, you and I. Maybe just polar opposites.
Mark, are you and your wife different like that?
I do think we balance each other out, certainly. And definitely, like, in a lot of ways, we are opposites, yes. Like, especially with the kids, you know, and I think that's normal. Mom's a little bit more attentive to their every need, where dad's a little bit more, they'll be fine. You know, I think that's kind of a normal thing, but I think that balance is necessary, because if we were both in one way or the other, it would be chaos.
Yeah.
What about though, like what we're talking about? Like if you go to a restaurant and they put you, like for instance, if we were going to a restaurant and they put us in a spot where it wasn't ideal or like by the bathroom, I would just be like, thank you so much.
Yeah, I think my wife would be the one to do something about it.
Okay, that's what, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It wouldn't be you.
Right.
Yeah. That is so funny you say about the kids too, because I feel like Carson and I are so different too. Like when we parent as well, like even though he's just a baby, it's like, I'm like, did you put his socks on? Did you bathe him? Did you put his mittens on? Because he needs his mittens. He's so cold. And he's like, babe, he's fine. Like,
he's 15. He's going to be okay.
Or it's like he'll be like playing, like I don't know, like today he was on Galaga, he like beat the highest score. And I'm calling him like, how's Leo? Oh, he's fine, he's just on the floor hanging out. Like, what? Like, why? Like, what? We are just all opposite. He's like, yeah, he's fine. Like,
my wife could tell you every time our children have been sick in their entire lives. Where I'm oblivious. No recollection of any of them.
Yeah, I know. I feel her. He's just more like, which I'm so grateful for, because I feel like I'm so anxious. He's just like, he's fine. He's okay. Mm-hmm. But he's got mm-hmm. stuffy nose. He has something. We need to hurry. We need to go to the hospital. He's like, calm. You're okay. So this right. Good. It's a good balance to have. Because
in 10 years from now, you're going to be like, remember in June of 2021 when he had that stuffy nose?
Yeah, I totally do. Mm-hmm.
But see, I'm really a pushover in a lot of situations. But then I'm also the one who's like, when with Phoebe, I'm like, did you take her out? Did you take her out before you pee? Did you do her food the right way? Like,
you have that innately in you too. Like, I feel like not every guy generally, but I just feel like guys in general kind of like, they're okay. Like, I feel like
it's fine.
Women innately kind of have this like nurture. Obviously boys are too, but I'm just saying like extra, like we're just like extra nurturing. I don't know.
Cause that's how our dads accurate. Were for us. Shake it off. You'll be fine. Shake it off. Yeah. Rub some dirt on it. You're fine.
Exactly. But Carson's also like really analytical and logistic. Like he knows every date. Like he'll be like, oh, I remember when we did this, and this in June. And I'm like, I have no idea what to
do. That's me. That's the same thing. I know every I'm like you, though, date. Whitney. We've done everything.
Yeah. See, I don't even know at all. And so he's good with that stuff. He's the type that's like, if he's in pain, he needs to know exactly where. Like, we were just joking the other day. I'm like, now, where are you hurting? In your heart, the left chamber, the vent, like, he needs to know specifically, like, detail on detail. And we'll be telling, we're that couple that, like, will tell stories, right? And I'll just, like, give you the gist. Like, I'll just be like, oh, it's like 100 bugs or something. And he'll just be like, no, it's, like, more like 1,000. Like, he'll be like, there's, like, 50. I'm like, whatever. There's a ton of bugs. Like, I don't know. And he's just, like, that type that needs to be so specific. It's just hilarious. So everyone's looking at us like, oh, my God.
Y'all are just fighting about how many bugs. They're like, what's the rest of the story?
Yeah, I'm like, get to the point. I'm always like, get to the point. And he's, like, so specific. It was a hot summer's day on June 19th. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So funny.
I'm that way too. When people are telling a story and they're giving so many details, I'm like, I've checked out already. I'm done. I don't have any more like attention span for this.
It's hilarious. We are very opposite in every way. It's so funny.
I think it works. I really do believe in the age old opposites attract, because yes.
For sure.
I was, my ex, Robert, I feel like we were very similar in our personality types, and there was never, it was fine, mm-hmm. It was easy, but it just, I think I needed that like push against me with someone who's different and like challenges who I am, because they're the opposite of me.
Yeah. You need that challenge, like, for yourself too, you know what I mean?
For like yourself, you need that challenge, because those relationships, even if they're not a romantic, I think even friendships, they help you to grow. Like Tanya and I could not be more different, but she helps me. She has trained me to understand people like her more than I ever would have if I didn't have a close friend who was like her.
That is so true. And I feel like that's exactly what happened with me with Carson. I felt like I was just thinking about yesterday, because my sister-in-law, she went to high school with me. And so all of my high school friends, I'm like, I feel like I wasn't like compassionate and like thinking of their feelings more. Like, I wish I could go back with the stuff that I know now. I mean, obviously everyone wants to do that.
Yeah.
But since I've had Carson, I'm like, oh my gosh, people actually think and feel the way that you do. And they actually are like hurt by the things that I say. You know what I mean? Like, and in my mind, it's like totally fine. Like, it's just, you know, it is what it is. Like, why are you offended? You know what I mean? But now that I understand it and I'm actually like, okay, that actually, you know, people can feel differently than I do. And that is just totally okay. But I've had to learn how to do that. So it is really good when you have somebody that close that can challenge you like that, because it just helps you grow. And, you know, I wish I could go back to high school. And I mean, I don't, but I just.
Were you a bully? Were you a bully in high school?
Does it sound like I'm a bully? I'm not. I was not a bully. I am a nice person. Okay, everybody. I'm really nice. We're just. I feel like that could. You know, right? I mean, you know. Or no? I feel like maybe you don't.
Know what? That you're a nice person?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But I know you. See, I think of you. Are you the oldest child in your family?
Yes. And that's the other thing too. It's like, yeah. I felt like I've had to take on responsibility as well and just kind of had to act like, you know, it's fine. And I also, like, I feel like with my career, I've been driven. I'm a teacher, right? So it's like, mm-hmm. I've had to, you know, be strict and get people to be motivated and, you know, like, had to be really harsh sometimes. So I feel like I've had to be blunt, like, my whole mm-hmm. life, and just blunt but motivational, you know, try to.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, and you had to start doing that at 18, which that's a big role for someone to take on, of like teaching someone and being strict and being like, you're not doing it right, and taking on that role to where they respect you,
yeah,
but still want to, but still like you. You know what I'm saying?
And that's the tricky line that you have to kind of find. It's like, you know, you want to be a leader, but you want to be a good leader. Have to be inspirational. You have to make them feel like they're confident enough to try new things, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want them to be frightened or scared to try new things and to get out of their comfort zones. You have to make them feel safe. You have to, you know, encourage them, but make sure that they're doing it right. So it's like when I was 18, it was like, oh, like, you suck, you need to be better, kind of a thing. I didn't know how to motivate somebody, like,
with correcting them.
Exactly. So it was a big learning process, and I feel like I genuinely grew up on the show. Like, it taught me that, how to be a good teacher. And, you know, obviously I'm not the best, but I feel like I have learned a lot in the process of, you know, motivating somebody and keeping them close enough, right? Because mm-hmm. you have to also build that bond on the show as well.
Right. So yeah.
That connection, you have to, you know, be their friend, but you have to be their coach as well. So it's kind of a fine line, but yeah, it's hard. It's hard.
Well, I was having a conversation the other day, and we were talking about how, so this is kind of an example of something that she was getting, like a wax or something, like intimate, you know,
yeah.
where it's just kind of already uncomfortable. And the person started asking her questions about her personal life. And she was just like, or like her work or something. And she was like, you know, I don't really want to talk about this right now. And I was like, oh, you said that? And she was like, yeah, because like, I've been talking about my work. I didn't want to talk about my work anymore. And I was, oh. And she goes, but isn't it, and it's so scary because you don't want someone to get the impression that you're a B word, but you like, why is it that having boundaries equals being a B word, you know, like having boundaries for yourself and being able to say like, hey, I don't really want to talk about that while you're down there, you know, it's like,
that's interesting. See, I'm blunt, but I don't think I could ever do that. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that is weird.
Like, I feel like I would just be like, yeah. Like, I feel like I would just give like one word answers. Like, it's more work. Like, it's more work slash like, this is the thing, is I don't actually like confrontation unless I feel super passionate about it. And like, I don't know if I would care that much to say something in that scenario. Right. If I definitely feel it, like, I will definitely express myself bluntly, but I'll also try, like, I don't know, like, in that situation, I don't think I'd be able to do it. I think I would just give, like, one word answers and be like, yep.
Cool. Just get the hint.
Just get going on that and be finished.
It depends
on the situation, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm not like that in any situation. So I really admire being able to, like, have boundaries. I'm learning. I'm trying, you know, I'm going to therapy. I'm trying to learn boundaries for myself. But it's when your whole life, I mean, I'm 32 and my whole life has been making sure people are pleased with me and, like, happy with me and that I'm not hurting anyone's feelings. And all of a sudden I'm trying to still do that while also protecting myself. Which
yes.
It's hard.
It's so hard. Oh my gosh. Maybe I need to go to therapy.
Therapy's great for everybody, honestly.
Therapy's great for everyone. I mean, I just don't have the time, but I need to make time because it's good for me to learn these things. I wish I would have done it earlier, honestly.
Yeah, same. Honestly.
Yeah.
But better late than never.
Better late than never, exactly. I know. Boundaries are hard. Like, I'm curious if you okay, so this happened to me. So I got, this is a dumb thing, but okay. My ring, right? My wedding ring, a diamond fell out of the ring. And it's like, it's like super sentimental to me. I cherish this ring, right? Mm-hmm. And so I like kind of like storm in there and I'm like, hey, like my husband got me this ring. It's this year. We just got it this year. And this ring just fell out. Like, this diamond just fell out. Like, this should not be happening. Basically, I was like, you need to replace it. Like, and why is this happening? Mm-hmm. And my husband was so mortified. He was like, why did you have to go in there like that? Guns a-blazing. Like, that was so embarrassing for me. And it was his cousin. So he was on top of it. He's like, oh my gosh. And then we walk out and we drop off the ring. And his cousin was like, oh, I can see who wears the pants in the relationship. So he was so embarrassed. Like, would you ever, like, if something like sentimental to you like that, like, would you go in there and be super annoyed? Or would you just be like, it's expensive. It's super expensive. Oh, yeah. And you just got it and it's like the diamond's out.
I wish I could go in just being like, this is what happened and this is what I need done. Like, y'all need to replace it because this should not be happening. But instead, I would be doing that internally. And then on the outside, I'd be like, so, yeah, I got this ring and I don't really know, like, how it happened. I don't know if I, you know, bumped it or what, but I noticed that a diamond was, it would just be the most, like, I would like never passive, get anything productive out. It'd be so passive. But that's what I'm saying. I'm working on because that shouldn't be, I mean, sure, like, everyone has, like, different delivery, you know, like, but what you said was not wrong. Like, it shouldn't be happening. Yeah. This is a very expensive ring, and it's a diamond, and it should not just, I should not be losing one this soon into having it.
But I mean, like I said,
those are the things I'm working on, being able to just, like, stand up for myself. And, of course, I'll always have the personality where I go in, and I'm initially overly nice about it and take it on as if it's my fault. But
yeah,
you know, being able to say what you want is a gift.
It is, but then it's also not. Like, you, like, there's both sides of the spectrum, right? Like, it's like you want to stick up for yourself, but you don't want to do it in a way that comes off like bratty or hurt somebody's feelings. And then you also don't want to be like too shy to say anything that you just get walked all over. So it's like there's the spectrum, right, that I feel like everyone is kind of like in between or extremities, and you just have to kind of find like the right balance. I mean, I don't know, I'm not going to therapy, is that right?
I think being with a partner who also is like the opposite helps to learn from each other, because he could learn to be like, oh, I can be assertive and it not be rude, and you can be like, I can be assertive and also gentle.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, which is so awesome. So I'm so grateful. He's so funny. That guy.
Well, I love you both. I'm so happy for you. And I'm so happy you came on and hosted the podcast with me. It was so fun. I can't believe it's already been an hour.
Oh my gosh, has it? That's crazy. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that I got to talk to you and hang out with you for a minute.
I love you so much. Thank you for being on today. Yeah.